bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today, Robin, we're talking to a real wildland firefighter. We have Justin Caber with us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I saw the / event coordinator, and I thought, what is that? Anyway, we're going to find out.
Well, we will find out exactly what it is. I want to understand, first of all, what possesses a guy like you to go out and fight a wildland fire?
Well, we're not really smart. you know, it's a great job. It's needed in the community. Obviously, you know, we fight fires throughout the nation and sometimes internationally. But, you know, locally here, we have a lot of wildfires. And we're kind of a group that generally likes to be outside, you know, and help the community. So, overall, it's a really good career.
It's a miserable place to be in a wildfire. It's hot. It's smoky. It's hard to breathe. And man, I tell you, it's got to just get your morale down. It's only so much you can do with 100-foot wall of fire coming at you.
It can be extremely challenging. I'll tell you that. It is hot, smoky, very dangerous from time to time. But it can be exciting as well.
Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. We're glad that you're there.
Really. And then, your reward for a hard day's work is the hard ground to sleep on.
Yeah, we get to sleep in the dirt, which is great, 100 days a year or more out in fire camps. So.
What's the most harrowing situation you've been in a wildfire?
Oh, man, it's more and more. We're just seeing fires get bigger, more extreme. Fire seasons are getting longer. So, been on a lot of fires that just move miles and miles and miles. So over the top of people, making sure they're okay, flying in helicopters, making sure they're getting out of the way and make sure the public is safe and the firefighters, of course.
Well, they've got some newer, heavier equipment now to help kind of contain the thing, because that's really all you can do. You can't put a hose on it.
Yeah, you got to do what you can do. The fire dictates what you can actually do out there. So got a lot of heavy equipment, a lot of logging equipment here in Northwest Montana that helps us a lot. A lot of stuff in the air, fixed wing and rotor wing stuff that helps us.
Last few years, they've been making fire breaks, thinning down. Do you see that as helping?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We are lucky here in Northwest Montana that we have a robust system, on our forested lands, private and public. As much as we can do before the fire helps tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got one section, I think, that's been conditioned up in your area, around Tally Lake.
Yeah. Yeah, Tally Lake does a lot of good work. So.
And they're up there around Lost Creek in that area.
Yeah.
They put a good firewall in there, so heaven help us if we get a burn going up there.
Yeah, what we say is it gives us a chance, before the fire starts. Yeah. It gives the wildland firefighter a safer place to operate.
I think there's more awareness now since the Holocaust of sorts in California, and then more recently in Colorado, just went through housing subdivisions.
Yeah, and we're at all those fires, the wildland firefighter community here in the Flathead Valley. We travel everywhere from federal to contracted workers, and we're at almost all those fires you see on the news. So, we're losing entire communities.
Well, you've created something called the Wildland Firefighter Foundation, and we're going to ask Justin Caber about that after this. Our guest is wildland firefighter Justin Caber, who drew the short straw, I guess, to be the event coordinator for a big event coming up for the Wildland Firefighter Foundation. Before we talk about the event, I think we need to understand the foundation. Why was it created?
Yeah, you bet. So the foundation has been around quite a while now. It's a national foundation. We started a chapter here in the Flathead a couple years ago, but primarily the foundation supports the families of firefighters killed in the line of duty and help support injured firefighters as well.
We're not hearing about firefighters being killed. How serious is that?
We average 19 fatalities a year.
Wow.
Nationwide. So, you know, we,
a lot
of parallels there. You know, we, you know, special operations is about 21. We do 19. So, it's a pretty big deal, obviously.
Yeah, of course. And I don't know why we don't hear about these fatalities. We should be hearing about them. I would imagine the number of firefighters that are actually injured is much greater than that.
Yeah, it's. I don't have direct statistics on how many are injured, but you know, from large fires, it's several a day. Generally, on a large fire, which there can be many throughout the nation on a given day. You know, that go for weeks, as you guys know. You know, it could be one to many a day on
this
each one of those fires.
A war.
Yeah, literally, it is.
Yeah.
The one that I think that really affected us last year was the one down at Findlay Point.
Yeah.
That came down the side of the hill, jumped over the top of Montana 35, and went, I mean, it didn't even melt the asphalt. It jumped over so fast. And boy, once you get on Findlay Point, there's not much to stop it.
No, there's not. We lost a tremendous amount of structures within that fire as well. And we're seeing that more and more. You know, as summers get hotter and drier. So, yeah, it's been challenging.
So you guys put your life on the line in these things, and you do get hurt.
Yeah, we've had quite a few people here in the valley that have been seriously injured.
What type of injuries usually crop up from this?
It's a bunch of different things, you know. Falling trees are generally the most serious. Aviation accidents, as well as you guys, you know, mm-hmm. we put a lot of retardant planes in the air and helicopters, mm-hmm. and sometimes the fire environment is not a real safe place to fly. But firefighters on the ground, falling objects, trees especially.
Yeah, and burns, I would imagine, too.
Burns as well. Yeah, those get real serious fast.
So what can the foundation do to help the victims of these wildfires?
The great thing about the foundation is they're not related to any sort of government entity or OWCP or anything. So they come in and they help families immediately. They concentrate on helping the families. So if we're traveling fighting fires, they can get our loved ones next to us in the hospital. They take care of things like groceries, house payments if they need to. Just filling that gap between, the immediate injury needs until some sort of other help kicks in.
You know, we're not paying you guys what you deserve. Not by a long shot.
Yeah. I will say that, you know, there's a lot of positive movement in that direction, mm-hmm. From up above. But, it's definitely a very challenging job. And we don't do it for the pay, to be honest. I mean, we obviously try to make a living.
But. Yeah, we had Ernie Nason from the DNRC the other day. We all can do our part by clearing out around our homes and that kind of a thing. So, we aren't adding to the fuels.
Yeah. And Ernie's part of the group that shows up, and we cover everybody from DNRC to, you know, the government entities, mm-hmm. all the way to the contractors.
Yeah, but getting back to the fact that you guys don't make a lot of money for what you do, so when something happens and you're taken out of service for an injury or worse, your family's going to suffer immediately,
financially. Undoubtedly, as a group, we concentrate on just the sheer amount of working hours on mm-hmm. wildfires. So if somebody gets hurt or worse, you know, this foundation steps in immediately because they need financial assistance.
And you say there's only one kind of funding that comes from that, and that's from the public.
Yeah. This in our local, we're doing a banquet here, obviously. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But the call to action, definitely, the public can really help in times of need.
There's no government grants or anything that comes your way?
Not really. Down the road, there can be help. Yeah. But the foundation's able to help the day of that.
That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that when something happens, if you're in another part of the country and you're holed up in a hospital, that your family can be there with you.
Yeah, exactly. And they can make that happen, or we can make that happen that day. You know, we can mm-hmm. get you a plane ticket that day. There's no delay whatsoever.
And of course, if it's a situation where we got to buy groceries, we've got to keep the family going, And if the income stops because you're laid up in a hospital.
Yeah, and these are hardworking families that fight these fires and support the fires, and they got little ones at home. And
what about insurance? Is there insurance coverage while they're fighting the fire? The reason I'm thinking of this is there was some talk about recognizing that you guys are subjected to smoke repeatedly, year after year.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of us, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but we do have insurance. It's just not an immediate help, you know, like this foundation.
But take care of the medical and all of that stuff. But, you know, when you got to get a plane ticket to get mom and the kids out to where you are.
Yeah, I was speaking more of insurance for
long-term
things.
There's been positive movement in that category as well with cancers and long-term smoke exposure and that sort of thing.
Well, we appreciate the hard work you guys do.
And we're going to show that appreciation by showing up at a banquet. We're going to hear all about that right after this.
Our conversation today with Justin Kaber, he's a wildland firefighter and the event coordinator of the Flathead Firefighters Banquet, which is coming up. It's a good thing that will happen on April 15th. there are some other things going on that date. Anyway, tell us what we can expect at the event.
So, yeah, we obviously tax day there. We want people to be able to remember it. So we're going to have a great night. You know, we want to invite the community out to help support the families. And just going to have a really nice banquet. We're down at the fairgrounds at the Trade Center. And just going to have dinner, drinks, a bunch of games, live auctions, silent auctions, and that sort of thing.
And there's food.
Yes. There's going to be some great food, 406 barbecue, some brisket that's absolutely amazing.
Man, I love the brisket.
Yeah.
That's great. So what are the hours for that anyway, so we can...
Yeah, you bet. We're gonna open the doors at 4:30 in the afternoon, and we're going to run until 9:30 that night.
Okay, so is the sit-down dinner at a particular time, or you can just come in and graze during this?
there will be a sit-down dinner, obviously, that will be facilitated by the MC, and probably around 6:30 we'll sit down and eat, but we're going to do a bunch of fundraising before that.
Okay, so as far as you mentioned MC, what is he going to be MCing? What kind of events?
So there's going to be raffles and games and giveaways and going to give away a tremendous amount of stuff. You know, we have a bunch of drawings for all sorts of amazing products that we've gotten throughout the valley.
Okay. Are you still in search of more products? Can people get in touch with you if they have something they'd like to contribute?
Absolutely. You know, we've been humbled by the support that the valley's given us, but we're definitely in search of any products, from a pair of socks to anything you can imagine. So you know, welcome any of that support.
Asbestos socks. Anyway, and I noticed here, looking at the past banquets, each year they seem to become more successful. So the recognition, just as the fires seem to get worse year after year.
Yeah, I will tell you, this community has really stepped up. Just like I said, humbled by the outpouring of support. So we just got started here a couple years ago, which was coincided with COVID. So, you know, it was tough to raise some funds that year, but we still did very well. And then last year we had our second annual banquet that we did extremely well. And this year we've seen even more support.
Now, once again, the Wildland Firefighter Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit. So your contributions are tax deductible, and the event is on tax day, April 15th.
That's right. So how do we get tickets?
So a couple different ways, flatheadwff.org. So Flathead Wildland Firefighter Foundation, flatheadwff.org. Okay. You can get them online.
All right. And they are how much?
They're $50 and per person, and that basically just covers the food and the event.
All right. 4:30 to 9 o'clock, Flathead County Fairgrounds in the big old Trade Center building.
And it's the big one.
Yeah.
Lots of room.
There is, yeah. We were in the expo building last year, which is wonderful. But with the amount of people showing up, we decided to move to the bigger one this year.
Okay, and the funds used this year will, I don't want to use the word fuel, but, you know, your activities and the benefit the firefighters in this upcoming fire season.
Yeah, definitely. You know, of course, fire season's coming here. We already have people traveling for fires. I've got a couple people in Florida right now. So yeah, the committee that runs it here, we're 100% volunteer. All of us are professional firefighters, but we do this because we need more work, obviously. But we volunteer our time, and all this money goes to the foundation.
Now, as long as you're talking about volunteers, we had a news item a while back that wildfire fighters were being sought or recruited already. You know, and we had snow on the ground. Is that a need still?
Yes, yes, undoubtedly, you know, looking for more help. And it takes a while to get ready, even though we have snow here on the ground right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a fire we had to respond to yesterday, even still in the grass. So it, you know, as it gets warmer and drier, fire season pops up quicker than you think.
Okay, now,
what kind of training do you get before you get out there on your first fire?
For your first fire, you've got to go through 40 hours of what we call basic fire training. So someone comes in, quite a few entities do that here, but you've got to get 40 hours in just basic fire behavior and just general safety so you can kind of look out for the things that will get you.
If someone is interested, who should they contact, DNRC or where do they go?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different organizations, you know, DNRC, the Forest Service, Flathead County is a great resource that's incorporated in this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you want to be a wildland firefighter, you know, the invitation's there.
Yeah, we've got a spot for you.
All right. Gosh, thanks so much for all you guys do, and I hope this dinner is just a huge success for you.
I love the brisket.
Really appreciate it, guys.
Justin Caber, thanks so much.
Yep, thanks.